Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are broadcasting live from Southern California like we do every single day. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I've got a lot of show today. Lots to get done, lots to cover. I don't want to waste any time. Telephone number is toll free. I've got four interviews instead of our normal three, so we have a lot to get done today. Four. And they start in hour number two. And then after that, it backs up. It loads up in a very good way. But if there's something you want to get to, you have to do it in hour number one. Open phones in hour number one. That telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. In terms of the interviews, huge interview day coming up at the top of hour number two. The head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians. Also in hour number two, the manager of the LA Dodgers, Dave Roberts. In hour number three, Atlanta Braves third baseman, Josh Donaldson. Also in hour number three, UFC president, Dana White. Episode 90 of the Jim Rome podcast, dropping later on today. Terry Bradshaw is our guest. So today is an enormous jungle day. Also a very sad jungle day. And I will talk about that momentarily. You've got your phone number. If you want to use it, go ahead. But understand, if there's something you want to talk about today, you better get in early because the show is jammed up. We have four interviews and lots to get to. I want to start with some basketball. By now, Laker fans are coming to terms with the fact that Kawhi Leonard did not sign with them and instead signed with their rival across town, the LA Clippers. That's left Laker fans, who were so confident about Kawhi joining LeBron in AD, wondering how the hell that could have happened. Try this on for size, Laker fan. Now, from the outset, Kawhi and his uncle, Dennis Robertson, made it very clear they valued secrecy and privacy in their decision. Not that they had to actually tell anybody that. Not that they had to tell anybody anything about that. If you know anything about Kawhi, you know that nobody values their privacy more than this dude. But in the event that any team wanted to sign him had not been paying attention, they want to make that very, very clear. Privacy is extremely important to them because without it, there is no trust. And without the trust, he ain't coming. Either Magic Johnson did not get that memo or Magic just didn't give a damn. Because while Kawhi and his team valued privacy, Irv valued letting everybody know. Even though he was no longer working for the Lakers, he was still a part of the process, which is why he told the LA Times that he spoke to Kawhi and Uncle Dennis. And he told ESPN a friend called and said that Leonard wanted to meet with him. Hope that was worth it, Irv. Hope making it about you was worth it. Because it may have actually cost the Lakers any shot they had at getting Kawhi. Because a person involved in the process told Jovan Buha and Sam Amick that, quote, I truly believe that when Magic started telling the media about the meeting he had with Kawhi and Dennis, that sealed the fate of the Lakers. I think right there, that was when Dennis and Kawhi decided we can't trust the Lakers as an organization, and that was it. I think that was it for them, end quote. My man Irv strikes again. The guy hasn't been team president in months, and yet somehow, some way, he's still finding ways to bury the franchise he professes to love so much. It's incredible. Now, did Magic telling the media about talking with Kawhi actually cost the Lakers Kawhi? That's not entirely clear. I'm not saying it necessarily did. What I'm saying is it sure as hell didn't help. And everybody knows that. Hell, even Magic has to know that. Nobody knew anything about this process except for one thing. That Kawhi and Uncle Dennis wanted it to be private. Yet there is old Irv running his mouth, telling multiple media outlets about everything. I'm just shocked he didn't periscope the conversation he had with Kawhi. So why would you do that? Why do the one thing that Kawhi told everybody not to do? I mean, was Irv actively trying to sabotage the Lakers' chances of getting Kawhi? Or can he just not help himself? Either or both, and either answer is good. I mean, again, nobody really knows what makes Kawhi tick or why he does what he does. And maybe he never was going to join the Lakers. Maybe he was just stringing them along so they'd wait for him, and by the time he made his decision, there'd be no time to sign any free agents. Maybe he was doing this as part of a plan to jam them and make it better for the Clippers. Maybe. All of that might be true, but it's also 100% true that Magic immediately telling ESPN and the LA Times about his communications with the most private person on the planet was a horrible idea. I mean, by the way, check out the dates on these reports. Here's a tweet from Ramona Shelbourne. Quote, Johnson says, a friend of mine called and says Kawhi wants to meet with you. Johnson told ESPN. I said, no problem. I'm available. If that's what this man wants, but I got a great life. I'm not trying to mess with anybody's job. End quote. Notice the date on that tweet. That tweet was on June 28th. 2 days before the start of free agency, allegedly. Magic already telling secrets out of school. Like the game hasn't even started, supposedly. And Magic is already shooting on the wrong basket and telling everybody about it. What a total look at me moment. But he wasn't done. Brad Turner of the LA Times tweeted on June 30th, quote, Magic Johnson said he has spoken to Kawhi Leonard and his uncle Dennis Robertson today after being contacted by Leonard's group. Magic said no meeting has been set to meet with Leonard and Magic yet, end quote. My man's a legend. Free agency hadn't even started officially, and he's already given updates on the process to two different media outlets. What? Irv, live blogging didn't want any of that? This guy's the best, the absolute best. How long do you think he waited between the end of the meeting with Kawhi and Uncle Dennis before he told the LA Times about it? 5 minutes? 5 seconds? I mean, I'm surprised he didn't just conference the media into the call with Kawhi, or do it at the podium from the Lakers facility, or hop on Twitch to broadcast it, maybe do an Instagram story. And he didn't even ask to be referred to as a source or a source close to the matter. He flat out went as Magic Johnson. Like, make sure you get that name right. It's Magic. M-A-G-I-C. Last name, Johnson. J-O-H-N-S-O-N. Magic Johnson was probably wearing a Magic Johnson jersey while he spoke with the media about the one thing that he was not supposed to talk to the media about. Like, the guy quit being an NBA executive so he could tweet to other players. Of course he was going to tell everybody about the meeting with Kawhi and Uncle Dennis. Magic bailed on the organization that he says he loved, and Jeannie Buss, who he says he loves like a sister, so he could tweet congratulations to Russell Westbrook when Russ goes 20, 20, and 20. You think that guy isn't going to tell everybody everything about a private conversation he has with the biggest free agent of the summer? Asking him to keep a secret is like asking him to approach his former job as team president like a full-time job. It's just not happening. And the best part to me is that this is a guy who quit without telling anybody. He didn't tell Jeannie Buss that he was quitting. He told the media that he was quitting. So again, you're going to tell me that the guy was not going to tell the media when he had any sort of conversation with Kawhi's team? Oh, hell no. This guy could not bear the idea of a meeting with Kawhi and company without everybody knowing that he met with Kawhi and company. So, he doesn't talk when you're supposed to talk, but he does talk when you're not supposed to talk, which is awesome. And I couldn't love it any more than I do. Magic Johnson, the player, is one of the greatest to ever do it. He could do everything on the floor and completely destroy whatever plans the opponents had. Magic Johnson, the NBA executive, will do everything off the floor to completely destroy whatever plans his own team has. In other words, Magic Johnson really is the Magic Johnson of horrible executives. I'm not saying he's the reason Kawhi didn't come. I'm saying it sure as hell didn't help. 1-800-636-8686. All right, now is the time where I've got to do something extremely hard. To move away from talking about the ridiculousness of sports to talking about something incredibly sad, something incredibly difficult, something extremely hard. and there is no easy or smooth way to do this. As some of you may know, the Jungle lost one of its own yesterday when we received the news that Randall in the OC had passed away. You may have seen the tweet from his account. Quote, "It is with a heavy heart that I notify the clones, friends, and Jim Rome that Randy Randall FWFI has unexpectedly passed away. He leaves behind a wife and young daughter. Close friends only, please reach out via message, and I'll reply when I can. Thank you all." End quote. This is an absolute gut punch, and I can't begin to fathom or imagine the pain and the grief for Randall's family. If you know this show, you know Randall. You know about the guy who started making a name for himself as an emailer when he would sign his name, Randall, wait for it, in the OC. And there was this period of time where everybody tried to figure out where he was in the OC. North County, South County, Orange Coast. Was he a Garden Grove man, Newport Beach? And then we got our answer. It became very clear that Randall was everywhere. And when I say that, I mean that. He was everywhere. Randall was in the studio. Randall was at a Costco. Randall was anywhere, and he was everywhere. If there was something show-related, Randall was there. Like the time in 2016, when he went to the track to see Stays in Vegas, and he knew the sport. Check this call, breaking down the history of racing. Randall. Randall, are you in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio right now? Do I not see you?
Jimmy, how you doing? No, I'm not. How you doing? I'm in the parking lot, actually. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. I know you're close wherever you are, Randall. So tell me about that day. How did it go? And if you got a second, Randall, kind of explain what it is about horse racing that you might like that people just don't get and don't want to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Jimmy, I actually have been doing it, you know, my whole life. My dad took me there, you know, probably in the mid-70s, 75. I went a lot from 75 to 85. Those 10 years, me, my dad, and my brother, and my uncle, we'd go to all the tracks in SoCal. You know, it was basically Los Alamitos, Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Del Mar, and we even went to, you know, Pomona. So we'd go wherever the meet was, we would go, you know. So, and yeah, I fell in love with it. It was actually like the first sport that I knew, you know, before even whatever, baseball and football. I was into horse racing. And yeah, you got to know the trainers and the jockeys. You know, I had favorite jockeys, you know, Bill Shoemaker, Lippy Pink Eye was my favorite. But I like Chris McCarron, you know, Gary Stevens, those guys. Those are the guys I grew up with. So, but Pinkeye Jr. was always my favorite. But if you know the jockeys and stuff, you will get into it. I knew the horses was affirmed and, you know, spectacular bid. I saw those horses run too. So it's really good. But it's a good day.
See, now Randall was anywhere and everywhere. And Randall emailed and tweeted, but Randall rarely called the program. That was a rare call. He also broke down the race that day.
The Periscope, it struggled at first. I was trying to get you at the paddock, but it wasn't working. I couldn't get any reception. Kept saying poor connection. So I couldn't get you at the paddock. But I ended up going, you know, right at the wire when the race started. That's when I scoped it. And it worked because I had a pretty good reception there, I guess. So ended up scoping the whole race. All the clones were with me. All the clones were with me on Periscope. It was cool. Then pretty much I helped call the race. I mean, she ran a great race. I'm just all heart. You know, Stays in Vegas, just phenomenal. You know, just battled the whole way. You know, perfect spot, third at the top of the lane, and then just took down Be Mine. I mean, what was she, 3-5? You know, took down the favorite, and then Solis just really outdueled Bays. I thought he gave it a great ride.
Randall, you nailed it. Great job. Thank you for periscoping it. Thank you for representing. Always good to see you. Randall's like the stalker that I like. Randall's a good stalker. But dudes, is he here? You know, I wasn't even there for one of my favorite Randall memories at the track. I was at the O'Reilly Auto Parts manager's meeting when Shared Belief had arguably his biggest race ever. It was a showdown with his rival California Chrome in the San Antonio Stakes. You know, we always thought we had the better horse, but Chrome was the people's champ. Chrome was the horse that won the Kentucky Derby. Chrome was the horse that had a look at the Triple Crown. Chrome had a much bigger following than Shared Belief. But the day they ran against each other in the San Antonio Stakes, Randall showed up. He showed up and he stood in with everybody rocking purple for California Chrome. He represented Shared Belief. He represented Jungle Racing. He represented the Jungle, and he represented the Rome family. And speaking of the Rome family, I'll never forget Randall being at the track and shouting out to our younger son, Logan. Logan! Logan! Rat family, Logan! Tell your old man to bring it back, Logan! Logan, the Rat family! Logan was blown away by Randall. Logan actually was awed by Randall when he first met him. But getting to me in the paddock was nothing for Randall. Check out this tweet from Lef. Lef tweeted, quote, "In 2015, Randall and I got locked out on the roof of the old Jim Rome studio trying to find it." Here's a tweet from Denlesks. Quote, "Absolutely devastating news about the passing of Randall. Had the gift of knowing Randall for several years, and he was totally genuine and one of the most loving people I have ever met. Prayers to his family as we await info on how we can assist them." I mean, I could read tweets and emails for hours about Randall, and not just about him making people laugh and bringing joy, but about the times he reached out to people to check on them, to check on their families, to follow up, to see how somebody was doing. If you're missing Randall right now, like we all are, check out the tweets about him, see the impact he had on folks, because it truly was special. If you want to call in and share your memories of him, we can do that as well. I'm going to take a break right now, and we'll come back, and we will talk about Randall. Phone lines are open. Understand, though, the way today is setting up, we have four interviews. They start in hour number two, so you want to call right now, 1-800-636-8686, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, the jungle is a community. The jungle is a family, and we lost a valued member, a very important member of that family. And people were hurting very badly today. Randall, WFIC, in the OC, passed away yesterday, and I mentioned this in the open, and I said, if you want to talk about Randall and you want to share your thoughts, go ahead and do so. In fact, the first person to want to do that is somebody you know, you all know. He was the longtime executive producer of this program. Kyle Brandt has gone on to do his thing with the NFL Network, but he had plenty of dealings with Randall, and he had some thoughts that he wanted to share. KB, nice to have you. How are you?
Dude, it's KB. Wait for it. In New York, and I am bumming today, man, because we lost a good one.
No doubt about it. So when you think about Randall, Kyle, what comes to mind? What are your first thoughts?
So many things, so many positive things. Randall was a true clone in the most positive sense of that term. Randall was a clone dude with all the trimmings. He loved the Jim Rome show. He had a unique handle. He had his own stick. He liked the clone stuff. Randall was a big rap family guy. He loved sports. He loved the Broncos. But more than anything, dude, he adored being part of this jungle community. And I know for him to be talked about like this, to be honored by you, would just make his world. Make his world.
KB, do you remember, well, obviously you do, but you had an encounter with Randall in a Costco. What happened?
So, you know, I mentioned his stick, which you've heard. Randall was the stalker, okay? And the stalker came from the sweetest, most positive place in that Randall liked being around the show. He wanted to be involved. He liked coming to things. And the stalker thing happened because, I'm going to say, man, in about 2014, there was what I would call a period of highly concentrated Randall encounters. We kept running into him. I think in the space of about a week, we saw him at Santa Anita, came out for a race. Then, like, the next day, I ran into him shopping, and we took a selfie, which someone just tweeted at me. It's on Twitter, same picture from years ago. And then a couple of days later, I got to make a Costco run. And I bring my son, at the time was one, Calvin, this little toddler. You go to Costco, you're a little tense. You know it's going to be kind of a fight. We get to the front of the store. I set Calvin down. I got my elbows out. I get the cart going, and Calvin takes off. Calvin runs around the corner. I'm scared. I'm frantic. I'm tearing after my kid. And before I round the corner, I hear this voice say, "Calvin!" And I'm thinking, who's calling out my kid? I go, do I have to fight somebody right now? I come around the corner, and there, crouched down to Calvin's level, is a smiling dude with sunglasses and in a Rod Smith jersey, giving Calvin a high five. And it's Randall. I just saw him 2 days ago, and Randall sprouts up. Calvin's growing like a weed. He looks great. And then he wants to get in his Broncos tapes and everything. And I have never been so relieved to see someone in my life than I was right there in the Costco parking lot of Randall. And he was the best. And then it took off. we tell that story on the air, and next thing you know, it's, understand, anybody who's not familiar with this, no one loved the Randall Stalker shtick more than Randall. He was a very self-aware, self-deprecating guy who would email in his own jokes. And Jim, if you would come back from the weekend and say, well, I cooked out behind the backyard over the weekend, Randall would immediately email in, yeah, you know, dude, from my perspective behind the garage, I thought the chicken was a little overcooked, but I was using binoculars at the time. He loved that shtick. And when I left 3 years ago, almost to the day 3 years ago, a bunch of the clones made this video as I left, and it was left on the Gunnar Mark in Hollywood, and they're sitting there at a bar stool or at the kitchen table or on their couch, shot for shot for shot, and you get the Randall shot, and he's in the bushes, surrounded by leaves and branches, and he's whispering, KB, I gotta be quiet, I'm in Romy's backyard right now, just want to wish you the best, I gotta go, and then he pulls up the binoculars. He loved it, man, and whenever we would see him, he would tell us how much he loved it, and that's part of the reason Randall was so lovable. He was just a good, fun, goofy, sweet guy.
He was, KB, and I know that hit you pretty hard, and I really appreciate you that upon finding out that news, you wanted to call up and share your thoughts on that, and I know that would mean the world to him too, KB. Thanks so much for doing it.
Anytime, anytime. Thank you, dude, and thank you, Randall, wherever you are.
It's Kyle Brandt, who immediately, as soon as he found out, reached out to me and said, I would love to share my thoughts on Randall. Randall, wait for it, in the OC. Man, what a big heart. Always had a smile. Always had a smile. All right, my thanks to Kyle Brandt. What I want to do right now is take a short timeout. When we come back, if you've got some thoughts on Randall, again, you want to share them right now, you can call the program. I might be able to get you up. We do have four interviews, and they start in hour number two. So I've got another segment next. If you want to share your thoughts on Twitter, hit me at Jim Rome. If you want to email your thoughts, go ahead and do that too. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Bruce Arians at the top of the hour. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts next hour. Time now for a sports update. Here is the latest on this Wednesday. Andrew.
Northern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wednesday is NASDAQ Pros Day. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit a question there. And remember, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The reaction of Randall is just overwhelming. So much love for Randall. As I mentioned, I could read emails and tweets for the rest of the day on this quite easily. Let me give you a sampling really quickly. Dear Rome, I remember when you first made the jump to CBS, I would fire off emails daily in the opening segment. You'd read a combination of Den Lesk's, Randall in the OC, or myself, and then scold us for our moronic takes. When I made the switch to Twitter, one of the first clones that hit me up was Randall, a fantastic guy, one of the nicest guys in the JTP. He will be missed by many. RIP, Randall. I'm sure you are still watching all of us. Signed, Dan, WFI in Denver. Dear Rome, not too many clones are universally loved in the jungle, quite like Randall. Seeing the news last night of his passing was truly shocking. I never got a chance to meet him, but from everything I've seen and heard from him, he was amazing. RIP Randall. I'm practically in tears all morning. Signed, Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Were Randall being put in the jungle ring of honor? Dear Rome, the overwhelming love for Randall is so touching to witness. I hope he knew how much his jungle family loves him. He loved and supported every clone, no matter how well known that they were on the program. I wish I got to meet him. My sincerest condolences to his family and friends. Rest in peace, Randall. The JTP will never forget you, brother. Love, Nikki. Rome, many of us who never met Randall in the OC are taking the news of his death extremely hard, so I can only imagine how it must feel to be somebody who did know him. He could be found in every single photograph of a clone gathering in SoCal with his signature goofy smile and enthusiasm. He loved you. He loved the show. He treated every clone as an old friend. Those of us who never shook his hand or had a conversation grieve for those who did. We grieve for his family, and we grieve for a life taken away too soon. The proper way to honor Randall is not to take a shot, but to drip dry a bottle of Jack Daniels and fall asleep standing up over a barrel. Good night, you legend. I know you're watching over Jim from the clouds, just as you watched over him from the bushes in his backyard. With love, Caleb. Wait for it, in Green Bay. There's so many of these. I mean, I could read these for the next 2.5 hours. Romy, straight take. A heartfelt RIP to Randall. The dude was freaking hilarious. He provided a legendary soundbite that would get stuck in my head all the time. There would literally be times where my kids would ask me a question like, can we play outside? And I would respond with, yeah! My condolences to his family, you and the XR4TI, signed Geoff and Lincoln. Wore a jungle heaven with Randall and Mike in San Diego, driving everybody nuts by constantly screaming, yeah! And Romy, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. And one more, dear Jim. The entire clone family lost one of the best in Randall, WFI, and the OC. Unfortunately, a lot of us never got to meet him in person, but I can guarantee that anyone that had any type of interaction with him would say, that's a guy I would love to hang out with. Not one person had a bad thing to say about Randall, and his dedication to your show was unmistakable. Whether it was him mixing it up with us clones, chugging at halftime during a Broncos game, you reading a tweet or an email from him and hearing your reaction, or even if he was allegedly hiding in a bush outside your house, everything Randall did was to the absolute fullest. Deepest condolences to all of Randall's family and his close friends. Cheers to every day being back in Friday for you now, Randall. Mike in Buffalo. These are only emails. I mean, there's so many tweets that echo the same thing. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You know, it's really hard, and it's really sad. But Randall, if Randall were here, he would hit us all with a big, yeah! And he would have that giant, goofy smile, and he'd bring such energy and enthusiasm. And my man was happy, always happy. Let's go to the phones. We go to Huntington Beach. Rich Flores is on the line. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Not my favorite day. I have a prepared statement from his wife. I want to say just a couple things. I met Randall the first time at the Big Wangs party, Mark in Hollywood. I think my favorite memory from that was when I got a phone call at about 10 o'clock at night and asking where Randall had parked his car. It was pretty funny. You know, Leff and I aren't doing very well with this. He was in our closest circle, one of our best friends. Got to hang out with Randall at, you know, the Chargers mini camps in Costa Mesa, or Broncos games in Carson. I was with Randall when I met Janet, your wife, the first time over at the Improv for the Disabled Veterans. He was in the helicopter with us when we buzzed the tower. He was the guy that was up in, when he went out to Santa Anita that time you weren't there, he was actually the guy who found Terrence and Sierra Madre. He was up at the Buccaneer and asked the bartender and said, hey, do you know Terrence and Sierra Madre? And that's how we found Terrence. I got to go with Randall up to Ron Say's house. Last time I saw Randall was at Hennessy's. I put him in the Uber on the way home and just nothing but great times with that guy. I want to read this. I'm getting a call right now from Trapper. He's devastated as well. This is from his wife, Crystal. It says, we cannot comprehend the catastrophic event that has taken away the most needed, loved, fiercely dedicated father, husband, and friend. Randall, simply put, my Randy, was a legend. And he was certainly a legend to his 7-year-old daughter, Bella. In this time of immense grief, the best way to find happiness is to remember. I'm going to share a clone story some of you early clones may know, but a lot of you will hear for the first time. I mentioned before Randy was fiercely dedicated. That was the person he was, and it branched out to every aspect of his life, including being a clone and being a part of the jungle. You all knew him as the stalker. We knew him as Jim Rome's biggest fan. If Rome had a horsing race, he was there betting on him and telling all of his friends to do the same. If Rome made an appearance anywhere, Randy did what he could do just to say hi to him. On our first wedding anniversary, I was 3 months pregnant, and we decided a nice drive up the coast to San Francisco, making a few stops along the way, would be great. Halfway along, he pulls over and tells me something. He says, Jim Rome is speaking at his alma mater, UCSB, and I emailed the show saying we are in an area on our one-year anniversary trip. And there's no way my wife's going to want to do this, but if you read this email on air, Jim, she'll do it. Randy proceeds to turn the radio on and tune into the show, and not 5 minutes later, I hear Jim Rome reading the email on air. You know, that look of sheer genuine happiness a kid gets, it was all over his face. Needless to say, we sat front and center in that lecture hall until the very end. Our evening continued by waiting near the limo to catch a glimpse of Rome as he was leaving. Randall's voice carries, and he was able to get a shout-out to Rome when he saw him. That persistence led to his very first picture with Rome. From that moment forward, Randall's desire to be a bigger part of the jungle was on like Donkey Kong. Randall loved Rome and everything about the show, especially the clones. He was one of the best. We thank you all for being a part of his life that brought him so much happiness. Rack 'em, Romy. Love always, Jungle. Crystal. That's all I really got, Jim. There'll be a GoFundMe that's going to be put together for Crystal and Bella. And so love that guy. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Rich. I know that's not easy at all. Randall, thoughts and prayers, Crystal. What an amazing thing. What a courageous thing to craft. What a courageous thing to write. What a courageous thing to share. I'm so glad. I can't tell how many clones heard that and cried along with that and are so appreciative that you shared that. And not that this ain't news that Randall loved the show, loved me, loved the other clones. And I think the clones that have said this about Randall have said it very accurately. I mean, there's not that one person or that one thing that everybody universally loves, right? No matter who you are. No matter who you are, somebody could find something bad to say about you, but I don't think anybody can find anything bad to say about Randall. And I'm not saying that because we lost Randall. Randall was just that kind of guy. He was just so happy. He was so positive. Amanda, imagine Randall trying to tell his wife that they're celebrating a time and they're going to San Francisco and he finds out that I'm going to be at UC Santa Barbara and they're honoring me and can we just stop by there? Can we be a part of that? Like, Randall would do anything for the show. Randall would do anything for me. Randall would do anything for the clones. Randall would do anything for anybody. That was so hard to hear, and I'm so glad that I heard it. And I'm so sorry. And thoughts and prayers and condolences, and I'm glad you shared that, Rich. And I'm glad that Crystal wrote that. And you want to look for that GoFundMe page, too, that will be up soon. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Nooch. Hi, Nooch. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call, bud. I was actually doing pretty good holding it together until Rich Flores. And that was a beautiful phone call. And thank you, Rich. And thank you for reaching out to Crystal. Just real quick, man, I know you got other stuff to do, so quick story with Randall. I was fortunate enough to know Randall for the last few years. My very first trip out to SoCal was about 4 years ago, and nobody on the JTP really knew who I was yet, but Randall dove into my DMs and had us meet him at this wonderful little spot in Laguna Beach, and he bought us lunch. I'm talking, we were like 33 hours road haggard. We looked like trash. Randall showed up with that giant smile and those epic shades. And proceeded to show us an amazing time in Laguna, even though we looked like we were hitchhikers. he is an unforgettable soul. I'm fortunate and blessed to say that I knew him. I personally will be chugging some Jack and Coke every Broncos game this season and probably next season. And before I get out, Jim, I got one more thing. I would like to politely ask if little Alvy could add our epic and beloved yeah to the deck of yeah. War Randall, War the Broncos. I'm out.
Thanks, Noosh. Appreciate it very much. I bet there are a million stories like that where somebody comes in and they're not really known or they're the new person on the block and Randall just invited everybody in with open arms. Randall with the big bear hug, the big smile, always welcoming. Let's go to Fall City. Liz. Hi, Liz. How are you?
Hey, Jim. It's a hard day. You said earlier that Randall was everywhere. In here, there are beasts, there are fights, there are times when we get burned out and we rebel, and times when we laugh and cry. It's impossible to explain this jungle family to outsiders, and we, as a jungle family and a clone family, lost the biggest light in the jungle yesterday. Randall was the epitome of joy, of being bigger than life, of being gracious, loyal, and mostly full of love. He was joy and happiness and loved every single clone unconditionally. And I've never known a clone more loved than him. Light is everywhere, even in the darkest places. If you look for the light, you will find it. And Randall, he was that light. He was at Del Mar, in your studio, at Big Wings, and every smack-off call of left. He made you want to be a better person, and he will live forever in our hearts. He was the best, the king, a truly special and beautiful person, and we will all miss him tremendously. I love you, Randall. And Alvy, can you hit us with another yeah and put it in the deck of yeah forever? Thanks, Jim.
Yeah! Thanks, Liz, very much. And I'm sorry. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Silk. Hey, brah.
Bruh, this is a tough day, man. Randall's such a great dude. You know, we were AFC West guys. You know, we were a Charger fan and he a Bronco fan. And my wife and I had plans to hook up with him this season for a couple games. And, you know, the Jungle family is tight. And I travel in circles with lots of friends. Not all of them are daily listeners or really know what goes on the Rome show. And there were times when I was with a group of all my bros and females too, a bunch of all of our friends, and when Randall would show up and everyone's like, dude, that guy is awesome, what's his deal? And I'm like, it's just Randall, bro. He's like the coolest dude. This is going to be a tough football season, not being able to see Randall, scoping before the game, scoping at halftime. Nothing better than seeing Randall with his head in his trunk hiding from parking lot security drinking a Jack and Coke, bro. I know you're up against it. I'm not a religious guy, bro, but my thoughts are definitely with his family, and hopefully we'll have information on some sort of service for him. All right, later, bro.
Thanks, Silk, very much. All right, so that's hour number one. Again, I appreciate all your thoughts, and as I mentioned, this is an unusual day in the sense that we've got four interviews that are booked and not the typical three, so we have a lot that we have to get done going forward. I've got Bruce Arians coming up next segment, then I've got an open segment, then I've got LA Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. In the meantime, if you want to send your thoughts about Randall, certainly you can go ahead and do that. You can call the program. It's going to be tougher to get the phone calls going forward, but if you want, you can try that. If you just want to email your thoughts, go ahead and do it. Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. If you want to get at it on Twitter, you can tweet at Jim Rome as well. Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach, joins us when we come back.